All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and this is Grim's Hentai Corner. We're doing Maggot Baits again, because it's been requested. So let's go ahead and get started. Once again, Carol was exposing her skin before Sunaga. She gripped his cock, drawing her face closer to service him with her mouth. The man brushed a hand, touching his cock aside. Huh? Carol was bewildered at the sudden rejection of her usual advances, but Sunaga... You don't have to, remarked emotionlessly, suddenly seizing the girl by her hair. Sunaga ignored Carol's bewilderment and suddenly forced his hard prick into her mouth. Carol's eyes shot open at Sunaga's sudden roughness. The walls of her mouth rubbed against the shaft shoved inside, prodding her uvula and leaving her suffering. Sunaga's spontaneous brutality caused faint fear to take root in her heart where it hadn't before, leaving her body trembling. What's wrong? She's trying to say. Carol looked up at Sunaga with tears in her eyes. This is enough, right? The man looked down at the girl with a cold, businesslike expression plastered on his face. Sunaga's this is enough must have meant fellatio was unnecessary if they were just using cum to replenish her magic. Yeah. Picking up on those intentions, Carol did her best to regain her composure while suffering from the pressure in her mouth. She breathed deep through her nose, settling her tremors. She wrapped the shaft with her soft lips, protecting his dick from her teeth. Even with this unusually rough treatment, the girl was still devotedly trying to do her best for the man. However, her obedience and acceptance when forcing himself on her only angered Sunaga more. It irritated him that she didn't break her acquiescent attitude, no matter how heartlessly he treated her as a tool. His brow furrowed in displeasure as he fixed Carol's face in place and thrust it, forcing his dick down her mouth. Carol's eyes widened in shock from Sunaga's sudden rhythm. His tip grinded against her uvula and the walls of her throat. Every time his hard meat lance pierced her mouth, she felt her stomach retch as if trying to eject its contents. Tears spilled from her eyes as it grew hard to breathe. Drool spilled from the corners of her wide-open mouth and snot trailed from her nose. Her body was twitching too. The hard tip of his shaft skewered the walls of her throat, making Carol cough and gag. Still, she said nothing, accepting the dick being forced on her. On top of that, she pursed her lips to increase the pleasure, letting her hot tongue curl around his slick shaft. Sunaga really didn't like this girl's dedication. Even though his pace was rough on her, he continued unabated. Carol managed to hold down her vomit despite his forceful grinding. Carol and Sunaga were witch and man. Mixing the seed of those two was enough to restore her magic as a witch, but for the man, it was quelling his urges. Therefore, it wasn't that uncommon for a man to expel his semen as he pleased while treating them roughly like this. In fact, that was the natural course. Besides, Carol was Sunaga's tool, and as a tool, she couldn't complain about how her owner treated her. She mustn't. That was their original relationship. However, mixed sentiments swirled inside her. Carol held warm, happy, indescribable feelings towards Sunaga. That was why she wanted to share the pleasure of growing excited, melting, and merging into one together with Sunaga, even if their feelings never drew close. She felt a little saddened by the fact that she wasn't allowed to grow aroused with her partner, but Carol still did her best to excite him by tightening her throat. Her face sometimes scrunched up in pain, but she still rubbed her cheeks around his stiff, hard head and entwined her velvety tongue around his shaft. Sunaga groaned. Was Sunaga feeling pleasure from her efforts? The girl looked up at him, but the expected expression of endured pleasure was nowhere to be found. Sunaga had groaned in irritation. His brows were furrowed, and he was grinding his teeth. There was no effort to hide his displeasure. Sunaga rarely let any emotion show, so what had happened to him? What's wrong? Carol tried to mouth the words despite the cock in her throat, but Sunaga wouldn't answer. The girl's question only irritated him further. He was doing this to cut down the time and effort needed to replenish her magic power with his cum. However, numerous emotions clashed in his mind, leaving him distracted. The end result was taking even longer. Sunga clicked his tongue and pounded Carol's throat even harder. The girl sensed her owner's anger as indescribable fear spread throughout her. Carol knew the man's irritation was likely due to her, but she couldn't pinpoint the reasoning. Acting as his tool must have caused him some displeasure, but without knowing the cause, she had no idea how to fix it. She was failing as his tool. She was becoming a burden. There was no telling when a useless tool would be cast aside. The fear of being abandoned consumed her. She felt ashamed of her inability to glean the truth to Sunaga's heart. She couldn't do anything to help his mood, so she stuck her throat out further, hoping to at least make him feel good. Her throat constricted around his head, rubbing the slick flesh. Sunaga mercilessly ground his spear into the confines of Carol's throat. His incessant battering caused saliva to back up and froth from her lips. The urge to vomit welled up over and over. Her lovely face was strained from a foam of snot and spit, and her throat stretched from the painful friction. Even with the heartless treatment she suffered, she desperately serviced him with her mouth, trying to keep his dick from softening and encouraging him to come. Even when used as a sex toy, she still remained obedient to her master. Yes, she was his tool. One could say her current treatment was most befitting of a tool. Yes. Damn it. The more obediently Carol behaved, the more irritated Sunaga grew. His aggression swelled, and he unleashed it by plunging his hips deeper. The man's rhythm grew more intense, and Carol's wide eyes shed tears. He pounded into her throat and uvula repeatedly, causing her to let out a beastly groan that hardly sounded human. Still, she managed to keep from vomiting or spitting out his dick despite the force of his thrusts. You want it that badly? Even when Sunaga hurled his anger at her, Carol couldn't understand his intentions. She tried to ask, but he cut off her words with his painful motions. Still, Sunaga had never confronted her with his emotions during the act before, so she wanted to accept them, even if they wouldn't bring her happiness. Undeterred, the girl wrapped her lips around the thrusting cock, trailing her wet tongue over his tip. It hurt, but she continued stroking his shaft with her lips and rubbing his head against the back of her throat, her tongue wrapped around his shaft, stroking it. Frothy drool stained her face, but she paid it no mind as she continued her caresses. If you want it that badly, then... Sunaga seized hold of Carol's head, his rage now plain to see. Then, he began mercilessly raping her mouth without hesitation, using it like a cock sleeve. The shape of his prick pressed through the skin of her pale neck, leaving her wondering if her walls would be scraped away. Still, Carol desperately narrowed her throat and around his cock as tears, drool, and snot trailed down her face. The member in her mouth was slowly swelling and growing larger. He didn't seem to be receiving much pleasure, but Sunaga was still about to come. Even though it was painful and hard to breathe, the girl continued her dedicated fellatio. She puckered her lips, wrapped her tongue around him, and constricted her throat to make him come. Carol swung her head back and forth in time with Sunaga's intense rhythm. A groan escaped his lips as he bit down on them. Then he pulled his shaft almost all the way out of the girl's narrow mouth and, paying no heed to Carol's confusion, he slammed his dick all the way to the base with one fell stroke. His tip bulged to its limits, erupting down Carol's throat. Cum forcefully erupted in waves, forced directly down Carol's esophagus as she groaned in pain. Her body twitched and convulsed from the suffering as the cum spewed out and poured down her throat. Every time she swallowed his cum in the past, she had lightly climaxed while feeling indescribable joy. This time, she felt nothing but sadness. She couldn't breathe. It was just painful. Still, she did her best to carefully swallow the source of magic power bestowed by her master. She was trying to swallow his cum, but the sheer amount in her throat caused her body to reject it. The girl gagged, and raw cum shot out of her lips and nose. Even after he had produced it for her, he may have treated her like a sex toy, but he still produced it so Carol could recover her magic. Tears streamed down from Carol's terrified eyes as she spilled his cum despite her best efforts. Her own failure saddened her more than the rough treatment or his forceful ejaculation down her throat. Still, Sunaga didn't let up in the face of Carol's tears. This is enough for you, right? You just want cum, don't you? Witches were satisfied as long as they received cum from men. Sunaga continued ejaculating as he hurled bitter words at her gagging body. He poured his jizz down her narrow throat as he watched her pale, trembling body break out into a cold sweat from the pain. He wasn't aroused. There was no pleasure to be gained from this. He was just thrust in mechanically, spilling his seed. Carol apologized to Sunaga with tears in her eyes as his cock twitched and pumped jizz down her throat. She was apologizing for spilling the cum he'd produced for her. Carol desperately attempted to swallow the violent stream of jizz. She forced her throat open despite gagging, gulping down the sticky seed clinging to her esophagus. Teardrops flowed down her cheeks as her gemstone eyes grew tinged with sadness, but she still tried to consume everything from the man, stuffing her mouth. Finally, his ejaculation came to an end. Carol apologized again, his dick still held in her mouth. She was apologizing once more for wasting his seed. She even started slurping up the cum she spilled to prove it with her actions. The force of her slurping even pulled down the jizz coating the inside of her nose. Felty sounds filled the room as she slurped the cum off her lips. She drew the jelly-like clumps of cum into her mouth and swallowed, like she was trying to gulp down the dick still in her mouth. The bitter, raw taste of jizz nearly made her gag when Carol drank it down like it was delicious. Sunaga gritted his teeth in anger as he watched Carol devotedly drink his cum. He furrowed his brows and looked down at Carol coldly as if to say figures witches would be happy with the man's, with any man's cum. There's some cum on your cock too, she says. Carol extended her tongue to lick the jizz clinging to the base of his cock as well. With his head shoved down her throat, she used her tongue to clean the area around his cock. The sight was like a starving animal trying to drain every last drop of blood from its captured prey. Says your cock's clean now from my mouth. Carol's sticky tongue scooped up his cum, refusing to waste anything he produced for her, even if he was still angry. She was saddened by Sunaga's irritation, but she didn't understand why it affected her in the first place. All she could do was focus on cleaning her master's shaft to repay him. She used her tongue to retrieve the sticky cum as it melted from her saliva. I got all your cocks clean now. It was hard for her to do, but Carol's desperate licking had cleared any remnants of cum. His dark red shaft still twitched and throbbed violently as it glistened with her spit. Carol's pale throat moved seductively as she once more forced to gather jizz down. Her throat gulped loudly as she swallowed his smelly juices. Swallowing cum, the act of a woman drinking down the filthy, smelly juices spewed from that dirty part of the body, was one of the greatest expressions of love when performed between lovers, and it acted as a means to excite both parties. Even if that partner was a menacing witch, most men would feel extremely aroused to have a beautiful girl like Carol swallowing their seed. However, any arousal Sunaga felt was converted directly into rage. Seeing Carol obscenely swallowing his filth caused undirected irritation. She says, I swallowed it all. Phew, thank you. Carol suppressed her sadness and gazed up at the master as she thanked him. Her eyes were red for her tears, and her lips glistened with spit. Her face was the picture of eroticism. But that indecency only fueled the fires of Sunaga's irritation. I knew it. All witches would show shameful gratitude for any man's cum like filthy, provocative whores. Even after roughly fucking and cumming in this devoted girl's mouth, Sunaga's irritation remained unabated and only surged harder, just like his cock. Not again. Sunaga indifferently seized Carol's arm and cast her onto the bed. He tossed Carol's body like he was throwing around a tool. Then he grabbed Carol's hips as she landed face down on the bed and pulled her butt up. Carol was forced on all fours like an animal. Carol instinctively stiffened as her privates were roughly exposed. The sparse undergrowth in the slit hidden beneath it were laid before the band's eyes, along with the puckered hole above it. The girl's loins twitched and squirmed with embarrassment. Sunaga scoffed with slight anger as he eyed Carol's cunt. As he expected, she wasn't as wet as usual during their previous acts. But that was only natural. Unlike before, she was desperately doing her best to make Sunaga feel good, despite her shock and bewilderment and his sudden roughness. She was terrified by her failure and felt sorrow from the act itself. There was no way she had a chance to get excited, sexually aroused, or moist, even if she was with him during the act. I'm sorry, I'm not ready. Carol was shaken. Of course, there was the shame of exposing her genitals to Sunaga, but she also felt guilty for not being wet enough. This act was meant to restore her lost magic power. It was for her sake. So for her to still not be ready, especially when he was about to pour the source of her magic power into her again, If they had sex like this, she might cause him pain, making him take even longer to come. He might even stop halfway. She was ashamed of her body's inability to be prepared. In her panic, she blamed himself. She gripped the sheets, her body shuddering, and she tried to endure her agitation. Whether he realized Carol's dilemma or not, Tsunika was aggravated by her slitched dryness. Her frightened attitude increasingly rubbed his nerves the wrong way. He gritted his teeth, digging his fingers into Carol's pair of butt cheeks. The girl's face scrounged with pain as his nails bit into her butt. Still, Tsunika paid Carol no mind, pressing his hard erection against her hardly wet slit. Then with force, he slammed his stiff shaft into her small pussy. It hurt. Carol grit her teeth to keep herself from screaming. Despite that, her face contorted with pain as her body trembled. Even Tsunika could tell Carol was enduring the pain, which was all the more reason to feel angrier when Carol wouldn't complain. He started roughly pounding without any concern for her like she was handling a sex toy. Or like he was handling a sex toy. He held tight to her butt cheek, shoving his spear in from behind without mercy. He was obviously turning his frustrations on her, just like when he fucked her mouth. Carol felt sadness slicing into her heart. She didn't understand why Tsunika was acting this way. She didn't understand why she was saddened by Tsunika's violent fucking. She could only endure her body rocking as she groaned without any understanding. This is so hard. He roughly brushed against her walls with no concern over and over. He'd normally climax lightly, but it seemed so distant now. It didn't even feel good. Pain and pressure built up inside her body. Restoring her magic power was the main objective, but the act of solely enduring pleasureless intercourse with her special man was the hardest part for Carol. However, honestly, that was the correct way to replenish her magic power, wasn't it? This was the proper relationship between witch and human man, wasn't it? Those thoughts crossed Carol's mind. Yes, I see now. Carol realized it once more. She realized just how kindly Tsunika had treated her, even with how businesslike and almost emotionless their sex had been before. Just how much consideration Tsunika had shown her before as he led her to pleasure back then. Even if they didn't express themselves, they had joined their bodies with sentiments for one another. It was just like a normal couple in love having sex, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Carol understood. She and Tsunika had been having intimate sex while calling it replenishing her magic power. Carol felt joy at building such a close relationship with this man, even if they never called it love. However, Carol couldn't understand why that made her happy. But the pain groans from her lips began to change into sweet moans, and she found her mind assailed with faint, numbing shocks. Her heart grew excited, and her loins began to ache. Her juices spilled out as her pussy began to grow wet. Tsunika slammed his hips even harder when he realized he was sliding easier. Tsunika's pace grew stronger, but it wasn't because Carol's wetness gave him pleasure. In fact, he was thrusting harder because he was irritated at Carol's cunt for growing wet. Damn whore, which is getting excited despite such violent treatment. Hurling that insult in his mind, he continued slamming himself against the girl without concern for her far more delicate body. Carol picked up his clear rejection as his anger rose. Of course they couldn't. They couldn't continue their kind methods of arousing and pleasuring one another. They must not care for and arouse each other like lovers having sex. Replenishing a witch's magic power must be this labor of pounding genitals together until flooding her pussy with cum, just like they were currently doing. Though pleasure may intercede, there can't be any kindness or tenderness. That had to be cast aside between tool and owner. That was true for Tsunika too? Carol looked back at the man thrusting into her from behind. His normally emotionless face was grimacing. To Carol, it looked like he was enduring a bitter hardship, so she thought she must be feeling the same way she was. Tsunika was also thinking about the proper behavior for tool and owner, wasn't he? The consideration he'd shown Carol thus far, in short, Tsunika's humanity had to be completely cast aside as he tried to become a machine. He was trying to escape the vague nature of humanity and become an unwavering machine dedicated to the precise fulfillment of his objectives, wasn't he? If that were the case, then she needed to respond in turn. Carol took several deep breaths in an attempt to calm her emotions. Then she pushed her heart down, down, deeper and deeper. She pressed it down harder, crushing it. She crushed her feelings for him, killing herself. Fulfilling Tsunika's objectives was her objective. She vowed to do anything towards those ends. She understood that if she really wanted to be useful to Tsunika, her confusing feelings for him were in the way. They couldn't win this battle if she didn't cast them aside. Even while being embraced by the only man precious to her, she killed herself bit by bit, slicing herself up. Then she converted her slain self into a machine. Tsunika noticed Carol's change too. He'd previously shown pain, endurance, and a sad expression. Now there was no... Hold on, she previously shown... Hold on, yeah. She previously showed pain, endurance, and a sad expression, but now there was no trace of emotion left on her face. While her pale body grew flushed and coated in sweat, she lacked any expression of pain or pleasure. Tsunaga decided to believe she grew sick of this forceful assault and closed herself off. Still, he felt pain in his chest like a hole opening up as he thought of how he despised and mistreated Carol. No, that wasn't right. He could despise Carol all he wanted, but that wouldn't erase the emotions he felt. He was just being unfair. In order to achieve his objectives, he would have to treat the sentient Carol as a pawn. Therefore, he had to kill his emotions, kill his humanity, push past his limits, and become a machine. Yes, just like Carol was now. Carol. Tsunaga took a deep breath and sped up his pace. He regripped Carol's butt and roughly shook her body. Tsunaga's rhythm was different from the sex they shared before. It was now exactly extremely monotonous and direct. They weren't confirming their feelings for each other anymore. They were just two animals mating to leave offspring. His breeding shaft rubbed her barely wet pussy so hard it might tear. Carol voiced no complaint of the tremendous pain and didn't even express her endurance of it. She only let out reflexive groans every time his thrust compressed her body. She focused only on making her owner come quickly as possible. She squeezed her hot pussy rolls around the shaft grinding into her. She swung her own hips, swallowing her owner's dick, spinning it out and stroking it. Sweat dripped from her body as she thoughtlessly slammed her body into his. There was no joy in affirming their feelings and no pleasure from grinding their genitals together. She just moved mechanically and effectively to serve her owner and bring him to climax. As a result, she would receive his cum and replenish her magic power. This is the proper relationship between witch and human male, the relationship between owner and servant. Tsunaga dug his fingers harder into Carol's pale butt. Like that, inside me. Carol enticed her owner with an emotionless voice and labored breathing. Tsunaga silently responded to Carol's words, pistoning his hips even rougher. His swollen, hard head pounded against the entrance to her womb. He relentlessly thrust the tip of his prick into her cervix. That alone would normally bring him great joy, but he was still growing easily more aroused. Still, he wasn't coming or shaking with pleasure at the moment. Even Carol indifferently swung her hips as his rhythm grew more intense. She thrusted her butt out, swallowed his dick deeply inside, squeezing and stroking the shaft with her undulating walls. She wasn't feeling any excitement. She was just employing her sexual techniques to make her owner come. Give me your cum, the base for my magic power, Carol muttered emotionlessly. Her undulating pussy walls sucked on his dick, swallowing his head down to her cervix. Her entrance clung to his tip, kissing and sucking like it was trying to drink his cum. Tsunaga's breath caught in his throat and he slammed his cock deep in her pussy. Come! Tsunaga let out a short groan and started coming. The girl's body shook, sweat dripping off her pale, snowy skin. Still, that wasn't the only real reaction they had. Despite the man she cared for embracing and coming inside her, her rough panting was devoid of any sexual arousal. His cum was hot as it pumped into her womb, but his heat felt somewhat distant. Let it all out. Even as his jizz splattered against her pussy, Carol's voice contained no sign of arousal. She was just mechanically milking his spurting cum into her womb until he finished. Although she felt her magic power returning, she felt no excitement in her heart. She just continued to breathe deeply while urging her owner to come until his orgasm ended. Phew, you're finished. Tsunaga's ejaculation didn't last as long as usual, thank God. Once he finished coming, he pulled out. Naturally, she didn't savor the afterglow. Although with her heart now turned to iron, Carol never had an orgasm to begin with. Still, this was best. This was... A glob of cum spilled out of her pussy with a schlop. Normally, her womb would feel pleasantly numb and her mind would be filled with pleasure and an odd satisfaction. It would feel fantastic and comforting, and her elation would last a while. But right now, her emotions were hazy and vague, as if a curtain was pulled over them. She only felt the dull sensation of his cum spilling out of her body. The indescribable endearment she felt towards Tsunaga felt distant now, like it belonged to another person. Yet, that faint joy and those distinct, distant feelings were no longer necessary. The girl took it upon herself to cut away her remaining emotions and heart. Wow. The task of replenishing her magic power was complete. Red Harvest. The general history of mankind lies in the indivisibility and slaughter of one's fellow man. This can be declared with certainty, for man has never experienced a time where these ceased. There have been several great massacres of a religion, most of which originated from Christianity in Europe. All are evidence attesting to the negative properties latent within that religion. The Crusades conducted for over 200 years at the end of the 9th century produced a hefty toll of victims both young and old. The great ethical sin Nazi Germany became known for in later years, genocide of the Jews, was already practiced in that age under the name of God. With the dawn of the age of exploration, that cruel, merciless society crossed land and sea to spread along with the white men who built their sense of self on faith in Christ. The indigenous, megalithic civilizations of South and Central America were wiped out, with the native bloodlines diluted out by rape. In North America, the mature spiritual civilization of the natives was either violently conquered or saw its lands and habitat robbed from them by clever ploys taking advantage of their trust. The wild buffalo that sustained their food supply were hunted to the brink of extinction. Now, this sounds kind of woke, and I don't know if this was the localizer that added all this, but I don't know if that's part of the original translation at all. The white nations competed to usurp Asian lands for their colonies, shedding the blood of many in the process. The African continent was sliced up like a birthday cake and thoughtlessly claimed. It's true that in this violent age of usurpation, non-Christian people of color in a Far East Island nation played a part in supporting it. But after that nation lost in the Great War, they continued to question whether it was mistaken or not. Meanwhile, there are none to punish the victorious nations worshipping the cross. They justify dropping a nuclear bomb on a city and the inhuman, indiscriminate massacre of hundreds of thousands as if it were all sanctioned by God. Worse yet, they enjoy even greater prosperity as if specializing in slaughter brought them blessings. In two world wars, man slaughtered fellow man on an unprecedented scale. They served as a degree of self-admonishment for mankind, yet that reflection only went surface deep. Its true nature hasn't changed at all. History stood in proof of that. The world will continue to be structured in that manner, and those principles hold from past through present. Nothing has fundamentally changed from the self-righteous mentality that started the Crusades 1,000 years ago, and the world's largest Christian nations continue their air raids and invasions on pagans. The world could not be operating on any less ethical or moral principles. It's easy to say that none of the concepts of love embodied and preached by their God exist. All is made clear under historical fact. The world's path is determined by the greatest power of violence and the self-righteous will of the strong. Furthermore, there is none who would deny this, starting with the God they worship. Could it not then be said that this cruel land full of hatred and eternal bloodshed is the world their God desired? That this is the world dreamt of by that lone man who was killed on the cross and uplifted to godhood? If that is so, then can it not be said that it is God himself who affirms such atrocities? Indeed, God is almighty. Inquisitor Valentinos proudly affirmed the omnipotence of the God he worshipped. Though God would not interfere in the loveless cruelty of this world, and indeed seemed almost desire it, this man did not find issue with that. In fact, he could not understand why others deliberated it. Even if the state of the world was evil in the eyes of human ethics, it wasn't possible for man's view of good and evil to apply to God. This belief that a God recognized as an absolute authority would deliver judgment with the same principles as a lesser being was nothing but ridiculous and contradictory in Valentinos' mind. Amen. To have faith is to humbly accept the object of that faith, not to question it. The God Valentinos believed in was not a protector of man, but an anchor of the world. Just as humans pay no thought to the needs of bugs crawling at their feet, running the universe took no consideration for petty sentimental arguments. His duty was to protect the laws of this world held in balance by Jesus. If God wishes for this world to be a loveless wasteland, then he would surrender himself to brutality as God commanded. He truly was God's slave. However, was there any human in this world that wasn't a slave? Humans subconsciously seek to assimilate themselves with something through their values, whether that be realistic power like authority and money, or insubstantial ideals and philosophies. That is why they obsess and occasionally even fight over them. Everyone seeks something they can believe in and surrender themselves to. They want to obtain stability and peace of mind by entrusting themselves to something and freeing themselves from uncertainty. That is a normal mentality that humans cannot avoid. In that sense, even the staunch fanatic was nothing more than an average human being following that mentality. Yes, this is truly a present-day Sodom. Even the breeze blowing here is rotten. The Midnight Pleasure District was at the height of activity as precarious as a ripe fruit about to drop. The fluorescent neon lights glowed like flytraps, illuminating the blood and vomit stains on the ground in the darkness. In the truest sense, there was no light here, only greedy, endless darkness and electric spotlights sent to cleverly hide the malice lurking there remain. Men and women indulged in their depraved, unconcealed lust beneath those red and blue spotlights full of deception. As Valentinos walked through that, he was clearly conspicuous. Even the prostitutes pitching themselves to any man had to swallow their invitations when they saw his huge black cloth frame. Many of the men sensitive to the smell of blood didn't even try to get close. Everyone instinctually avoided him, trying not to get involved. It wasn't just because of his simple strength or nature, though. They feared his innate potential for cruelty. His huge, dark frame was packed full of heartless violence, honed like steel flowing through his veins in place of blood. It was a human-shaped shark swimming around a school of tropical fish. Pandemonium streets were awash with a melting pot of kaleidoscopic light. Tonight, the cylindrical den of thieves was at the center of it all, towering over the city. Known as Slumville, it was the headquarters for witch hunters quietly advancing their goals in this underworld. That wasn't information Valentinos knew, though. Even so, his eyes brimming with a saint's prudence and a massacre's madness in equal measure locked onto that distant tower without hesitation. With his nature as an apostle of God, he could strongly sense that tower was the source distorting the laws of this world. Whoever possessed the Gospel of Judas that the Vatican sought to reclaim was there. He could see the otherworldly abyss swirling around that huge tower in the sky above this heathen land, further proof to support his instincts. The man in charge who opened that up and gave birth to the otherworldly things here was at the top of that tower. The iron muscles covering Valentino's huge frame rippled with intense hostility and joy at the prospect of wielding violence in God's name. Valentinos continued his advance, heading directly for Slumville. His powerful footsteps, filled with confidence, carried him forward until he finally arrived at the entrance to that skyscraper. The once beautiful entrance, composed of a futuristic metal arch and elegant glass panes, was now nothing more than ruins. The heartlessly shattered glass was scattered throughout the hall, letting the cold outside air flow freely. Instead, scrap cars and wood were piled up to form a barricade blocking intrusion. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Standing before the barricade, Valentinos muttered a verse from the Bible, his thick lips etched a cruel sneer. Book of Joshua 6:8. As the leader of the Israelites, Joshua, headed for the promised land of Canaan, their passage was blocked by an impenetrable fortress, Jericho, whose iron gates were shut to them. With the power of the Ark of the Covenant and the echo of the trumpets, those gates were shattered. His huge ebony fist shuddered as he clenched it, bones creaking. The providence at the root of this world, governed by Almighty Jesus, condensed around it, violence in pure form. The verse chanted by Valentinos called forth a physical recreation of the great power recorded in Holy Scripture. The Lord's will be done through violence. Oh, hallelujah! His fist clenched around the Holy Sacrament and roared along with his shout of joy. It slammed into the mountain of scrap and the very air itself quaked. At the same time, the loud blaring of trumpets rang out in the ears of everyone in the area. The sound was a vibration in the air, transforming into a hard, invisible iron hammer piercing through the space with tremendous speed and spreading in all directions. The shattered scrap became a rain of metal surging back. His fist tunneled through it all, collapsing the whole first floor entrance of the entrance hall of Slumville. Holy shit. Thus, the arrogantly sealed gates of Slumville met the same fate as the fortress of Jericho, and like the king traveling the unmanned fields, Valentinos proudly advanced into the heart of this den of thieves. The center of the building was an atrium. The waves of destruction blasting through the entrance hall pierced through and extended to the upper floors. He could see shadows here and there of the residents panicking above him like ants facing a rush of water. He climbed the spiral staircase, stepping into the atrium area and its circular hallway. Then Valentino suddenly stopped in place. So you show yourself, you fake witch. Down the hallway stood a lone, brown-skinned woman. What on earth are you? You're not a normal human. The witch Irene was brandishing her brutal edge with a beautiful arc. Her scrutinizing eyes never left the huge man in his dark suit. Shut up! Don't talk like a human, you tool! You lowly, falsely created witch! Valentino spat, his voice brimming with bottomless hatred. In contrast, Irene's expression was a mix of conviction and bewilderment. The brown witch was genuinely confused. She couldn't understand the meaning of what he said. Something about them being tools? Besides, this man mentioned witches in a very different way from the witches they usually referred to. However, there was something she didn't understand. This man was displaying his animosity towards her, which meant she had clear policy on what actions to take. Irene aligned herself with that clarity, eliminating the doubts and guilt taking root in her mind. She brandished the blade in the glow of the repulsive field surrounding her and charged. Though he used odd attacks, in the end, he was an unprotected human. Even tank armor was no better than paper against the power of a witch's supernatural powers. Her attack was a supersonic slash. With the exception of fellow witches, no one could remain safe before it. However, Irene's eyes were focused not on the red splatters of blood, but the silver, snowy glows. The pale particles scattered about blinded Irene with their reflection. These are salt crystals? The place Valentino's once stood was oddly filled with a human-sized pillar of salt. The brown-skinned witch's blade scattered it like a test slice. It all happened too fast for her mind to process. But Lot's wife, behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Then, as if the pillar of salt took his place, Valentino's huge frame emerged completely unscathed. His dark right fist lunged out like a snake, easily seizing Irene's face as she turned around. The strength of the unweakened witch's body was like that of steel or crags. Despite that, Irene's skull shattered like fragile pottery. That wasn't all. The repulsion field that should have dismembered any bare human on contact had done absolutely nothing. Powerful might drawn from a different, higher providence had overwritten the law supporting a witch's invulnerability. And Samson found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. With a fearsome twist on his lips, he unleashed another verse of the Bible, the book of Judges 15:15, a verse on how the heroic, unparalleled Samson used a donkey's skull to slaughter 1,000 Philistines with his great, oppressive might, the true form of the power now manifested in Valentino's right hand. Irene's skull shattered and scattered easily, like a persimmon. However, the massacre didn't end there. Valentino's palm crushed the brown-skinned, headless torso from the top like a machine press. By the time the Inquisitor's palm slammed into the floor, Irene was gone from the three-dimensional world, as if she was nothing but a joke. All that remained was a flat, two-dimensional puddle of crimson blood. After consigning a witch to oblivion like it was child's play, the black-suited visitor calmly resumed his march into the Den of Thieves. And that is where we're going to end it. Wasn't that something? Fucking insane. Valentino's is badass. I mean, I'm seeing that in anime right now. Like, throw all the Eroge shit out. It's like, as an anime, like, as that dude, he's like, he's doing Bible verses, and he's just doing crazy stuff. Like, you can see this going on. You can see, like, crush the head, you know? Like, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing this, like, classic 90s anime. Where he's like, and the Lord said, you know, and, like, crush! Just the whole head is... That is Berserk-level shit, man. Like, they could adapt this damn near as a regular anime, but they'd have to get rid of, like, all the H, and I don't even know if you could do it because there's so much torture in it. I mean, I don't know. Redo of Healer had, like, a lot of torture shit. So if they wanted to, they could definitely adapt this shit. But I don't know if they would. They'd probably do it as an eroge, just be, or a hentai, just because it's an eroge. Oh, we gotta cover all the sex, so let's not mention Valentinos or any of the badass shit that happens. None of the cool fights, nothing like that. Yeah, Japanese are kind of ignorant when it comes to that, unfortunately. They just want to, you forget there's a fucking story. It's not a 2-hour hentai, it's a 60-hour game. Like, I'd be the asshole that would go in there like, hey, instead of censoring, you know, like all the other Westerners, I want you to fucking just go full on and give us the whole story. Like, you don't just know. There's enough tits on the internet. I just want to see the story. Like, show me the story of Maggot Bates completely. Like, I want to see the fucking story. I mean, it's badass. They wrote a story. Clearly, they wrote this with the intention of a story in mind. There wouldn't be these badass fucking fight scenes in it if they were just gonna be sex. Honestly. If this were just nuke-a-gay and it's like, oh, we'll just, you know, that, what do they call it, plot-gay? I don't even like that, because you could take a lot of the crap out of here and make it non-sexual, and it would still work. But, yeah. That's all I gotta say about that, and we'll be back with more Maggot Bates later on, and this is the Grim Lord, and I am out of here. I'll see you next time on Grim's Hentai Corner.